This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Ray Ferraro will join us here in just a moment. Confirm or deny in about an hour. Ramona Shelburne will join us as well. News coming out this afternoon. LeBron will not play over the next two games for the Lakers, although didn't play last night. They got a big win. They needed that. And they got a tough schedule, and LeBron's at the forefront of everything. Again, you know, is he going to be a part of the play-in? Is he not? Are they going to finish in the top six? You know, he's obviously got that right ankle issue, and it is concerning. It is concerning with LeBron James and the Lakers. But I think when the dust settles, if he's healthy and Anthony Davis is healthy, the Lakers are still a team to be reckoned with.
Dude, no kidding. They will flip the switch and start dummying people come playoff time. That's just what they do. That's just
generally,
what they
it's
do,
what
man.
They do.
Yeah,
I
think
yeah.
so.
It's kind of what I expect. Yeah, I kind of expect that. But listen, if LeBron's not at 100%, then it's a different story. You know, if he's all of a sudden he's getting up there in age and injuries, it's going to catch up to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. He's not at 100%. It's a long grind.
He's already throwing that little nugget out there. I will never be back to 100%.
Yeah, that's kind of – I haven't heard him speak like that
That
before.
Might be the first dent in the armor.
Yeah,
where
that's
like,
–
that's he's like, there's no way. That. It's not possible. Usually he would say, this thing could have been – my leg could have been cut in half and I would just be 100% in a month. He was like, it's impossible. I'll never be 100% again.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's quite a comment from you, LeBron.
That you could interpret that as laying the framework down for
as
a potential issue in the future.
A step
you know?
Backwards, possibly.
Yeah, with even though, again, my instinct tells me they'll be fine, they'll get it together, and there aren't any great teams in the NBA right now. There isn't a super team in the West that you're overly concerned about. If you're the Lakers or if you're the Clippers or the Jazz or the Suns, anybody for that matter. But that is a mortal comment from someone who has been immortal for a long time.
You Correct.
Know, like LeBron doesn't really roll that way. And all of a sudden he's laying the framework for, hey, give me some time here. You know, and if I'm not looking myself, it's because I don't feel myself. And that just has simply not been a part of the program for him at any point for the past 17 years. So Raptors in L.A. taking on the Clippers. And I don't know how we're supposed to feel about this game against Kawhi anymore. Like, it just, this whole year has adjusted my feeling about everything because the Raptors are not in town. They've had such a down year. Like, I really thought after he left and what he brought to the city and the role he played in that championship run, anytime the Raptors played the Clippers or anytime they played Kawhi, it was going to be a big event.
And to add and on just, to it, Brian, I haven't heard Kawhi or Paul George once this year in anything. All I've heard is a couple blurbs on SportsCenter where it's like, these guys have kind of kept the noise down and they're a really good team this year. That's all I've heard.
Yeah.
There's been no drama. I don't think Kawhi has taken anybody by storm by any means where everybody's like, you know, people, I thought for sure you would hear Kawhi in the MVP conversation this year. I didn't hear his name once from all the dudes that talk about
it. No, he's not coming up a lot. And he's having your standard classic Kawhi year. Like, you look at his numbers, they're still off the charts. Right,
well,
like he's still someone to be feared, but you're right, he's not. And the names are four or five deep this year for the MVP, and Kawhi's name rarely comes up, if at all.
And that organization's quite noisy because of the owner. He's been quite quiet too.
Yes,
usually,
he has.
You know, when I think of basketball,
pretty
obviously
cool.
The star players, but I think of Mark Cuban, right? He's a very front and center owner, and I think of Ballmer. Like I think a guy like that who has a boatload of cash, not shy to throw it around, very passionate. But he is, maybe I'm wrong, but I just have not seen him, even on like a SportsCenter clip or anything. Like I've just, it's like they've just gone about their business. It's almost like maybe somebody in the PR or something got a hold of them and was like, hey, smarten up here. Like you guys.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone had a conversation with them. Or maybe it was Steve Ballmer himself that finally looked in the mirror and said, I got to relax here. Like last year, we were so, upfront and personal and yelling and screaming and waving our hands and look at us, look at us, look at us. And they blew a 3-1 lead against Denver in that bubble. And then it imploded. Doc Rivers had to go, and Paul George had a target on his back. And reports coming out that Kawhi Leonard was being the prima donna of prima donnas and late for planes and picking practice time and living in San Diego. And it was ugly. Like it was a PR disaster. And I wouldn't be surprised if they either consulted with someone or they had their own moment, an epiphany, so to speak, where they said, we got to quiet things down here. And that's the nature of sports now. And I don't think it's a good thing for us, you know, like in the content game or even fans in terms of looking for intrigue. But generally speaking, when a team is trying to get it together after many, many years of failure, their first instinct is close down shop. Don't allow leaks. Take control of the messaging. We can speak to it here in Toronto.
I was just going to say, isn't that the
Leafs are the perfect example.
Isn't that the first thing Lou did when he came in?
Well, Mike Babcock says he wanted to make this a safe environment for the players.
Step before that. It was Shanahan. Like, Shanahan learned from Lou. Shanahan was here before any of them. And when he got here day one, it was batting down the hatchets, no more leaks, nothing gets out, everything stays in-house. And ever since Shanahan has been here, they have controlled the messaging. And I'll give them credit. They've done so pretty well. Like, they've actually done it beautifully in terms of
it doesn't hurt when people aren't doing stupid things. Like, there was stupid stuff going on here.
you're right. Like, but it was stuff that they could have controlled. Like, the Jonathan Bernier, Nelson Mantel, like, that's, you know, that type of stuff, that was nowhere near the ice. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff was, there was 25 things that happened that year, and 15 of them were non-hockey related. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that. And I think the Leafs, to your point, Brian, Shanny, Lou, everything came in, and I know it probably annoyed a lot of people, including us, in the content game where there was a cone of silence. Like, Robita Island was created, and, like, you know what I mean?
Tons of stuff going on. And it really, it was about the culture that is so difficult to define, and a lot of times you goof on it, and you're like, what does that even mean? But it's the ultimate, it starts at the top, and we are going to apply standards, and we're going to force them, or we're going to enforce them. Like, Belichick did it better than anyone for 20 years. There are, you know, Popovich down in San Antonio. And that's what a lot of these teams have done. I think the Leafs decided, let's make sure we don't have any self-inflicting wounds here. You know, we're not going to win the cup right now, but let's not have guys showing up late for practice that cause a stir. Or, you know, salute gate again. Or, fake it until you make it and keep it in-house and keep it clean, keep it G-rated, and then it's going to make our lives a lot easier. And I would suggest it probably has. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Clippers had a very similar memo go around, you know, before this season. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
Well, I think that isn't that what happens on this show? Like, you guys have decided, I don't know what the hell you decide, because it doesn't seem to be anything, but there are sort of kind of guidelines to get on the air, and it works. No, but
somehow.
I mean, like, it works. Like, eventually everybody's got to understand what they're trying to accomplish. And like, in before Lou came in, it seemed like it was all over the map. And then, you know, of course, Lou is like, you know, he's at the far end of the, you know, haircuts and all that stuff. And, but if you get the base right, then you can be free after. Then you can have a little more, like, you can have guidelines, but you can't. It's not prison. You can't make the guys feel like they can't do anything either. And it's not like that with Lou, but you were very clear on what the rules are. I think it's benefited them.
You're right, but it's the culture they created. Like, I look back, and I'm actually laughing out loud right now thinking about, like, do you remember we had Lou on, and he was like, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances. Like, there was, like, guys were disappearing off the roster. There was, like it was like an episode of The Sopranos.
But
you know what I mean?
You couldn't get an answer on anything. Like, that was the whole thing. Like, the best example, and I would love to know how it transpired, but I guarantee you there was a conversation. Remember when, before Joffrey Leupold disappeared, Nazem Kadri showed up and said, I've been skating with Loops. He looks great. He's just in perfect shape. He's ready to battle.
ready to rock for the season.
The next day he retired and was on long-term IR. And clearly someone got to Nazem Kadri and said, we don't ever talk about that again. Whatever happens behind the scenes stays behind the scenes. And sure enough, Kadri never mentioned Lupul again. He like cleared, he unfollowed him on Instagram, Twitter, everything. And that was the magic of Lou and keeping things in house. So
they've got it now. It just, if you do that now, the leaders of this team, the younger guys, because they're so young, this just starts to flow to the next group that comes in. This is how we do things. And before, it wasn't like this.
Exactly. And and now the payoff is you got yourself a good team. You don't start any fires, and people are going to react based on what you do on the ice. And, you know, last night, I guess it got away from the Leafs late, and Deno ties it. Cole Caulfield, again, back-to-back OT winners.
Awesome. And
Both moments, because he reacted last night as if there were people in the stands, right?
Yeah, he turned to the glass.
He turned to the crowd and like looked up to the like nosebleeds, and I could only imagine how that roof would have exploded last night.
Oh my word!
Against the Leafs in overtime, Cole Caulfield, it would have just been crazy. But I mean, this kid, he's been clutch his whole career. He's a goal scorer his whole career. That's what he's known for. I'll give him credit, man. That's one hell of an introduction.
Well, everybody, it seems like from the scouting community that I'm reading has compared him to DeBrincat. And if he's DeBrincat, then Montreal's got a hell of a pick. Mm-hmm. And then you wonder, like, you know, without nitpicking the draft, he went 15th. And what if he's a 30-goal scorer plus? Because there's nothing to suggest that he's not going to score, because he scored everywhere and lots everywhere that he's been.
He's like that, tiny too. Like how big is he listed
tiny
at?
Tiny noodles. He's tiny, but he's not.
He looks
tiny,
thick.
But he's not small.
He looks thick. Yeah, like he's like a low center of gravity. Like he's got. It looks like he's got a
too. DeBrincat's thick. He's a thick kid. I think he's not Gallagher. Like he's not going to, you know. Not going to be like Gallagher, who's like, you know, just a bull on the ice. That's not how he plays. But he's thicker than, like, you can be small. If you're small and thin, like, you better be amazing. Like, amazing. Right. Because you can't withstand the punishment. DeBrincat is able to, you know, of course, he's got Patrick Kane a lot of the times giving him the puck. That doesn't hurt either. Caulfield's that same build. And man, the kid can finish.
Yeah, well, that's two in a row. He sure can. Nick Foligno left the game last night with somewhat of an innocuous injury. Like, he limped off. He looked like he tweaked his knee. And then the Leafs announced it as an upper body injury. The only thing I could think of was maybe it was like an abdomen. Like, maybe he tweaked something in his core.
Low back or something?
It potentially. But no news. And I'm not sure if no news is good news, but with Hyman out and Foligno, who knows if he's going to go on Thursday. Really, it comes down to, are you prepared to go on game one? But if for whatever reason this is something that could take him out for a while, you know, Sheldon Keefe is really going to have to juggle here.
Yeah, I mean, if he's got to miss every day until the playoffs, well, then that's the way it goes. It's just, as you mentioned, it's really only about can you be ready for the start of the playoffs? But anything, they're in the position they are, and, you know, really, whatever their lineup is from now to then, I think they'd like to get everybody in the places they'd like to start in. But if they can't, and that's your only negative to being in first place, well, you can stomach that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that seems to be where they're at.
What about Freddie? Like, is that just, like, is he playing? Is he not? Like, what?
Nobody has a clue.
Like,
today was a good day. This is my favorite part, Noodles. Today was a good day for Freddie. Yeah. Oh, he's not going to play, but it was a good day. Like, eventually he's got to go in when, like, they count, doesn't it?
Today was a good day. You'd figure by Saturday he's got to go in and play net, doesn't he?
I mean, they got,
call me crazy, I don't know.
They got four games left, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. You figure he's got to at least play two of them, if that's what their plan is. I don't know.
I think it's a I think Jack Campbell's playing game one, regardless of what happens here.
I agree.
But Noodle, you know better than all of us, but like if you've been sitting around for 2 months and Jack Campbell pulls a hamstring and you got to go in game three, that's a tough ask. Wouldn't you like to have a little bit of rust banged off your feet by then?
Yes. Like I just, I keep waiting, you know, for Masters or Kristen to tweet out like Frederik Andersen looks to be. Now, again, I may be speaking out of turn here. They might not be. I'm sure they could do some cap maneuvering. Like they could find, they got to get him back off the injured reserve too, right? LTIR, which would be another scenario.
But maybe Foligno, you know, who knows? But if Foligno goes
on, didn't Bogosian solve most of that problem?
It's so complicated, right? This is why I hate the cap so much, because you know, I haven't seen anything that is cut and dry on how it works. But we all know you can find a way to make it work. It's just it's maneuvering and guys coming in and guys coming out. Again, like I said, if Foligno's injured and done maybe for the next four games, then that maybe opens it up and makes it simple for them. But yeah, it's like a WWE theme now. Like when is the Undertaker going to come out and play? Like when are we going to see Freddie and get a read on what he looks like? It's the ultimate unknown. But I have to believe in the next week. You know, clearly they're running out of runway here. You got four games to go. He's got to get in one or two, for sure. So respect, disrespect. I got to make sure I get that right. It was established on Friday.
I need to show the respect
it deserves. this Tom Wilson story, we haven't even mentioned the tweet from the team. We had no point brought that up, that the team, the
Dude,
social
what the
media
hell was
guy.
That? That's not, something I was unaware of. What the hell was that?
That's not Tom Wilson's fault, though.
No,
of course
not.
Some dope who runs their social media account.
That's a guy looking
a fireball
for engagement.
Offense.
Well, I'm not going to say it's a fireable offense, because the whole point of Twitter is to get engagement and to have people look at you, and that's exactly what it accomplished. Was it tone deaf? Yes. Was it a lock to be deleted within an hour? Absolutely. Like, right when I saw it, I'm like, that thing's gone in an hour. Someone screen grabbed that. There's no way that's going to survive.
I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody, you know how somebody, people
yeah,
make
somebody
things
made
up.
Somebody made that.
I thought that was made up.
The
I didn't rent, realize that
the
was
rent free.
It was made up, all right.
Yeah, it was mocked up in a boardroom and fired out there by Ted Leonsis and his crew in Washington. But putting that aside, in terms of what you witnessed last night, I believe everyone's seen it by now. If you haven't, Tom Wilson and Pavel Buchnevich, they got into, well, Buchnevich fell. Wilson kind of fell on top of him and then punched him. He got fined $5,000 for that. And then Strom jumped on Wilson. They got up. They went at it a bit. Panarin jumps on Wilson. They go at it. Wilson throws him to the ice and then keeps him on the ice. And Panarin's done for the year based on, we believe, something that happened during that scrum. We're not sure what the injury was. But a $5,000 fine in the end. No one triggers Twitter and hockey outrage like Tom Wilson. What did you make of the situation and the aftermath and how the league decided to play it out?
Well, first of all, I will say from guys that are in our vintage, it doesn't matter what used to happen when we played. Who cares? When I hear, oh, that, you know, that used to happen when we played and this is how it was solved, nobody cares. It doesn't matter. That's not how the game is. When I played, if you did that to Artemi Panarin, then the next five shifts, Nick Backstrom was running for his life. Like that's how, what are you going to do? Chase Tom Wilson? Who the hell wants to do that?
But someone would have fought Wilson too, though, right? You would have had a mutant on your team that would fight
someone else around. Yeah, you're right. There would have been someone around. However, Nick Backstrom would have been a little uneasy in his boots.
You're right. You're so right.
And so that doesn't happen. This is why I don't like the NHL's decision. This and this only is if Panarin's head hits the ice and his skull cracks on the ice and he fractures his skull or there's a pool of blood underneath him, is he getting fined $5,000? Is the league coming out with a statement that says these things happen all the time? Are they making that statement? The answer is no, not a chance. And so I do not think the outcome of that play should have determined whether Wilson got suspended or not. In my mind, it's a suspension. It should be a suspension. And whether his head bounced off the ice or not doesn't matter. That's how I feel about it.
Well, let me ask you this, Ray. So we were talking. Brian alluded to that too. You said, like, if you put him on the books for $5,000, you're basically acknowledging that you didn't like what went on there. But my question would be, if he got one game, you're still going to be disappointed, correct? Like, what?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is? Like, this is the thing. I almost feel like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I just had a friend send me a note, and I think it's a fantastic point. Until the CBA changes, the $5,000. What if these fines are more like the NBA? What if the
right.
What if you really start to go, okay, like, you want to be stupid? It's not $5,000 because we know everyone makes money. There's $100,000. Here's something that really, and we all know, when you hit guys in the pocketbook, it stinks. That's what, you know, guys are mercenaries out there. Like, that may be a deterrent as well, because I was asking this, if he got one game today, I think people would still be disappointed. People would be still mad at George Parros and the league, and
if you've determined he should be done for life, then
right.
anything short
Nothing,
of that
exactly.
is not going to work. And,
right.
You know, that's just the reality. The fines, I've always been of the belief that's the PA fighting for the guy making $650 as opposed to the guy making $5 million.
Correct.
Right? And it's like that. You take $100,000 from a guy who's making $650.
No, it wouldn't fly,
that,
man.
That is something the PA is going to fight against. But, I said earlier, Ray, that I think the league opens themselves up because of, like, the fine. My impression of the fine always was, we're going to put you on the books. I said earlier, this guy's on the cover of the book. Like, he is in, he's got chapters written in the book. So the fine, if you see an infraction, it's got to be a suspension. And it should have been if that's the way they viewed it. And I would also take into consideration, it's almost like giving two guys who are yapping at the end of the game 2 and a 10 and say, you're done, because I know it's going to lead to a fight and I don't want to see it. I would have suspended them because they're playing again tomorrow night. So you give him a one-game suspension, then he's not playing at the Garden tomorrow. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Let me give you an example. So the Capitals are playing the Leafs. Nick Foligno gets knocked down by the net. And Tom Wilson punches him in the back of the head. And in that scrum, Mitch Marner jumps on Wilson trying to get him off. And Wilson throws him like a piece of popcorn like he did to Panarin. What do you think is going on in Toronto today?
Oh, the same thing that's going on in New York. Totally.
It is. They, like, the potential for something terrible to happen there shouldn't determine, in my mind, whether that's a suspension. He should have been suspended. When he grabs Panarin, like, I'm not a tough guy at all.
You wouldn't have crawled up his back, Ray. You wouldn't have crawled up him like a zoo animal.
No, would you not have tried to grab him around the neck or something to try and save your buddy? Would you not
break
have tried
his ankle's
that,
the only option? Break his ankle's the only option because I'm not
okay,
doing any of the other
you
stuff.
You knew, when you grab somebody, like, you know, in that moment, like, you knew if the moment your hands were on that guy, you knew whether you grabbed the wrong guy or not, right? Like, you're like, oh, damn, that guy didn't even move. I just tried to shake him and he didn't go. Wilson knew he had somebody that was considerably less strong than him in his hands. He knew he did.
Yeah. Oh, he. I'm sure he was aware of who it was. I mean,
no. But I mean, even if he didn't know it was Panarin, like me, I don't know who else it could have been. But whatever. My point is, you have. We say there's got to be accountability for your actions. Just to say, okay, because he didn't get hurt, you don't get anything for it. Remember, the fine was for the punch to Buchnevich. It had nothing to do with what happened with Panarin. Nothing. That's from the league itself. And I've got an idea. How about have George Parros speak once in a while? I know he can talk. I've heard him. Like, why does the league have to have everything in a cone of silence? The lack of discussion or understanding never helps them, in my opinion.
Ray, I was, you know, I always worry. Here's an example. I did the game last night. Brady Tkachuk is Tom Wilson-like strength, correct? Would we all agree?
Yeah, big boy, tough as nails, strong.
He had a scrum going last night where he was messing with somebody. I'm trying to find it on the replay right now. But he picked a guy and overpowered him and threw him down. Like, you know, I understand, but, like, I always ask the question, where is the line? Like, where do you, you know, if you're stronger than somebody and you can physically, that's part of what makes you, like, part of what makes Brady Tkachuk a real force on the ice is he can overpower people with his strength. Now, if he's getting into it with somebody, and I think it was behind the net last night, and he just grabbed him and threw him down, and that person gets injured, like, do we go, okay, well, you know, and I know this is a different situation, but it just, I always wonder where that line is and what's the precedent. And it comes back to Tom Wilson is not a choir boy.
Well,
Tom
that's Wilson why it gets applied differently with him. And right. That's where, to be fair to the league, I do think it's murky because,
sure it is.
You know, I separate the two plays. The Buchnevich one, which is where the fine was, I didn't think the punch was really that egregious, but he was
in the shoulder blade. Punched him in the shoulder blade.
But he's on the ground, he's defenseless, and it's Tom Wilson. I'm fine. You give him a one-game suspension for that, I'm not going to yell and scream. And I'd understand it, and I'd probably give it. The Panarin one, Ray, I separate because as much as I hate that it's Panarin, and it's a star, but it's a scrum. He jumps on him, they turn, they go, and he throws him to the ground. Like, I can't.
Mitch Marner, you're going to say the same thing. I doubt it.
Well, I might not, Ray. I hear what you're saying in terms of the reaction in New York and what it would be like in Toronto and Vancouver, all over the place. But if I'm running the league, I can't be emotional in terms of how I'm going to police it. You know, I got to look at it, and I guess their reasoning is, scrums and guys getting tossed around happens in this league.
Okay, you're saying you guess their reasoning? Why isn't George Perreault speak?
That I can't tell you because that stopped. I don't know when that stopped, but they used to give out videos.
If you add information, people can say, oh, I don't like that, but they have information. Right now, all we can do is just scream and yell and debate, and we don't even know what the hell we're debating about because we don't have any real information other than what we saw.
Well, I think at the crux of this also is a player who has put himself in a bad spot a lot of times, self-inflicted. Like, I don't want to defend Tom Wilson. And there have been many times throughout his career where no one can, and he's indefensible. And he's put himself in this spot where he's got a target on his back. You know, he's the modern-day, you know, whatever it is, Dale Hunter, Claude Lemieux, whoever you want to, you know,
right.
Ulf Samuelson, guys that do things that no one likes and everyone around the league outside of Washington hates. So he's put himself in this position, and it doesn't appear as if he's going to stop. You know, like now I don't expect him to not play tough tomorrow night.
Like, not a chance.
No, he's going to keep rolling. So I don't, and the league, I'm sure, is sitting there thinking, this is going to boil over, and then it's really going to be a problem because people are going to yell and scream and say, you didn't stop it. You know, because you let this guy run roughshod, but I'm not sure.
He doesn't shy away either, Hayes. Like, he'll be the most physical guy on the ice tomorrow night. It's not like he's going to say.
I think he will. I think he'll feed off this. And where they're going to feel uneasy is how are the Rangers going to react to it tomorrow night? Because I don't see anyone on that team that really is going to want to square off with him at center ice. And that's not something the league is going to want.
Here's the other thing. He's allowed to be bigger and faster and stronger than anybody else.
That was kind of my point, and you know what? I just want to, for context, it was Brady Tkachuk and Mark Scheifele going at it last night, and Brady had him down and was roughing him up, and then Scheifele was mouthing the words, you're just like your brother.
That's a compliment.
That's what I said on the broadcast. I'm like, and I said, probably could back it up and say, just like your dad, too, because, you know, the dad was as tough, but there was a scrum beside the net, and Scheifele's a big guy, can handle himself, but you know, Brady and him were going at it, and, you know, Brady throws him down. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think everything gets looked at through in the individual lens. But because it's Tom Wilson, it's times 100
it's
because
way more explosive.
This guy happens to be in every, you know, a lot of debatable situations where, you know, Brady's not or Scheifele or other guys, correct?
Well, the ultimate, like, you know, David versus Goliath in a way. Remember, it would have been like 12 years ago when Chara was riding out Pacioretty into the stanchion in Montreal. And that was, you talk about explosive and you talk about emotional. I mean, that was Pacioretty. He was young. He was a stud. It was Char. Hated Bruins. And it kind of feels like that right now with Wilson. And, like, everyone's just so fiery. Like, this guy triggers people, myself included. Like, I see his name trending. I'm like, what did he do? What has this guy done?
And you know what? So he's not a dumb guy. We've had him on our podcast. He's smart. He's a thinker. Like, you would never think that the way he plays, but he's not a dumb guy. There is nothing that's going to make him curb the way he plays getting fined a pizza. Like, no. Why is he going to change?
No. Five but he's grand, had massive suspensions too, Ray, and that didn't change him.
He got a 7-gamer this year, I think.
Yeah, he
said the hit on Carlo.
The hit on Brandon Carlo.
Remember when Gary first came in and he whacked Dale Hunter for 21 games?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody went wild. And they're like, oh, that's going to be a new era of justice. And that disappeared. That was 20 years ago.
Well, Dale didn't see the puck was in the net.
Yeah, that was an understandable. That was a misunderstanding was what that was. And a real shame in retrospect. But anyway, all right, listen, tomorrow night we'll see.
Put it this way, we'll have plenty of time to talk about Tom Wilson again.
We most certainly will.
You know, you can want him on your team and not love everything that he does. I would want him to be my right winger, and I wouldn't love everything that he does, but I'll tell you, I would feel pretty good having somebody like that on my right wing.
That's the uniqueness of this sport. And the part of it that almost makes you feel a little bit uneasy is you're like, I hate this guy. It's gross. Yet there isn't a team in the league that wouldn't pay a hefty price to acquire him, including the Rangers. The Rangers trade for him today and be like, we love that deal. Like, we're a better team with Tom Wilson.
It doesn't mean you've got to love everything that he does.
Of course not.
Right?
It's not an endorsement of everything, but.
Right. And I think people have a tough time with that, Hayes.
Yep.
Like, they'll say, oh, you know what, that team wouldn't like him because he did this and this. Well, you know what?
They'll get over it quickly.
They'll put up with the suspension and then hope that he gets 20 goals and keeps everybody away.
Right, exactly, which he probably will. All right, well, we'll see what happens tomorrow because we're going to have that game cooking tomorrow night at the Garden. It'll be a good one, and we'll chat tomorrow at 5:05.
Talk to you then, boys. Have a good night.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Confirm or deny in about a half an hour. Ramona Shelburne in about an hour. Raps in action in L.A. taking on the Clippers tonight. The Jays are on the West Coast as well, taking on the Athletics. We'll get into that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, confirm or deny in about 25 minutes. Ramona Shelburne on LeBron missing the next two games in L.A. The Raptors are in L.A. taking on the Clippers tonight. We'll get back into that. Jays out in Oakland. They lost last night. George Springer, before the game, Charlie Montoyo said, scheduled day off, always the plan, all good, nothing to worry about. And then you're in a classic pinch hit moment, both in the eighth inning and the ninth. And everyone watching that game, myself included, were like, all right, let's go. Like, it was simply rest. Springer can clearly pick up a bat and go pinch hit. And he doesn't come out and pinch hit. And then Montoyo after the game is like, he just couldn't go. So we're going to have to review this tomorrow. And that would lead me to believe he's not playing tonight. You know, I don't want to put
what did I tell you about this guy, man?
It's concerning. You know, it's concerning, and I don't know how are we supposed to interpret that, like that.
Didn't he come out the other day because of fatigue?
He did on Sunday, but I find that hard to believe. Like, I lean more towards what we talked about at 5:00: state secrets, not allowing anyone behind the curtain, and this is more on the Jays than it is George Springer.
I know.
That, you know, they're trying to protect him. He's clearly battling injury, and he's trying
to
battle.
You got to say to the athlete, you're not going to come back if we're going to have to be dealing with this nonsense. You're not coming back if it's like 2 days later you're fatigued and you can't play, or if you've got a pinch hit, you can't do it. Like, they got, as difficult as it is, because it was the big money, big superstar signing, and people were getting anxious, and I'm sure he was. You want to put up with this all year?
But I
that's the bigger catastrophe if you got to do it all year.
I would be disappointed if I was injured and fighting through something and the team was like, he can't go because he's tired. That makes him look bad. Like, yeah. That's the first thing. I don't know if you guys saw Strutty's tweet. Was it yesterday morning or two mornings ago? Where it's like Springer comes out of game with fatigue. And I was like, I get it. Like, maybe it's muscle strain, muscles. Like, fatigue looks like he's like, nope, can't go. I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm not in shape or I'm tired. I'm like, tired right now.
I understand. To protect the player, there's obviously something going on. Use different verbiage.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. It is disappointing, considering what he did on Saturday night, right? He had two home runs, including the tire in the seventh. He hit one of 470 feet, right. And, you know, it was his arrival. He had arrived. They're coming off a sweep of Atlanta. I'm fine with him not playing last night if that truly was the plan. What has become very evident here is Charlie Montoyo gets he's the one – it comes with a job. Right, he gets paid a lot of money. He's the manager. He's the spokesman. If you're the coach or the manager, this is what comes with the gig. You've got to address the media every day. But a lot of times you could tell he comes out and he's not sure how he's supposed to address it. You know, like, remember the Vladdy and May 2-4 fiasco?
Right.
He didn't know what he was supposed to say there. Like, and to be fair to him, he may not have known the significance of it all, how many people were actually going to show up. He was a rookie manager at that point himself.
Dude, he looked unsure of himself last year when Shoemaker explaining that one.
Exactly, and because it wasn't his decision. Like,
That's right.
It was from further up the chain. That is the nature of baseball right now. The manager, in a lot of ways, is there. You work the bullpen. It's a high priority. You make sure all the boys are upbeat and everything's all good. You push fundamentals. You deal with any fires that arise. You make sure you douse them. But in terms of, like, philosophical game planning, lineup cards, that's coming from the analytical department. That's coming from the GM. Like, that's Ross Atkins and Shapiro who are making these calls. And now you got a guy in Springer who it feels like Montoya's not really certain how he's supposed to address it. Because right. Before the game, he was trying to let everyone know, all good, fine, don't worry about it. This was always a scheduled day off. And then after the game, because he walks into a classic pinch hit situation, he's like, I don't know what to tell you. He couldn't go. So something either changed over the course of 4 hours or the original comment before the game was not true, you know, because a night off is not a complete night off in baseball. We know that. If you have to go in, you go in. If it's a pinch hit situation, it's a pinch hit situation. If you're making a defensive change or whatever, then you go out and play. But for him to basically be told he's not available completely puts Montoya on a spot where he was telling two different stories last night, and it leaves, I think, the door open to Springer not playing tonight, which would be disappointing because, you know, you miss so many games, you come back, you try to get the engine rolling and running again, and now all of a sudden maybe you're being shut down. And it feels like it's just one of those nagging injuries.
It is, and it's disappointing. But that's my point. You see a little glimpse, you get excited. But, like, in a candid moment, this guy's not available because he's tired unless he's, you know, got something else going on. Like, I just think it was the wrong wording. Like, all you have to say is he's nicked up or, he's not 100%. We're just protecting our asset. That's it. And people are like, I understand. This guy's going to be here for a long time. And, you know, he's the golden goose financially. They've given him a boatload of money. I just thought it was bad optics as far as the wording of why he was not available.
Yes. And, again, as of last night, it wasn't fatigue anymore. It was always a scheduled day off. Which I guess factors into that to an extent. If you need a day off, that means he's probably been running a little bit hard, and you know he's trying to jump on a moving train here. And they're back in action tonight. Anthony Kay on the mound. Steven Matz, you know, that's back to back starts where he's got blown up a little bit. Gave up a couple home runs last night, and Montoya had a tough night because he went to tell him he's out after the fifth.
Oof.
And Matzy wasn't so happy with that. Which I appreciate the passion. Like, I like a guy who wants to stay out there and wants to grind and give it an opportunity to kind of redeem himself. But it's not as if he was throwing a no-hitter and Montoya pulled him from the game. I mean, he was getting lit up last night. Like, who wasn't pulling Steven Matz after the fifth?
That's the thing. Right. Like, you can be a hero in the dugout, but it's like, did he really think that wasn't going to be the situation? Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Did he, like, when Montoya walked up to him, what did he think? There was an outside chance that he was going to say, hey, what kind of car do you drive? Like, no.
Right.
He was going there for one reason and one reason only.
Yeah, it was time to come out, and, you know, like, he had to deal with that. And anyway, Travis Bergen went in last night, threw exclusively fastballs until that last pitch where he caught some guy with a slider to strike him out. And I thought the crew actually did a pretty good job of acknowledging that last night. Just heat. I love a guy to the bullpen who throws, like, basically one pitch.
That's it. Gas. Try to get it.
Just gas.
Go after
gas.
It, though. I love that.
Absolutely. Like, you know, that there's a lot of great closers that have done that forever. Mariano Rivera did that. He just threw a cutter. Like, exclusively a cutter. And he's in the Hall of Fame. He's the greatest of all time.
That's true. Yeah.
What is that sound? Is that coming from my end or your end?
No, there's a guy just with a weed whacker. I don't know. It's just – listen to this.
Sounds like you're getting your new jibs put in.
Exactly.
Just putting in work. It's raining outside.
There's a guy with a weed whacker, what, outside your window?
Dude, I don't know. It's the guy above me doing a reno. I don't know what he's doing. He's got a skill saw going. I don't know.
It's unbelievable, dude. I've had that condo experience recently because in my neighborhood they've been putting in, like, fiber lines and stuff. So there's trucks. There was a day where the one guy was moving someone into his basement across the street from me. The other neighbors were getting their pool, like, put in or whatever, like, getting it set up for the year. And there were 15 other trucks, like, installing fiber lines. It was honestly like a movie set. And it was so loud, right at 8 a.m. sharp. These guys pull up at 7:30. They're drinking coffees. And at 8 o'clock, I guess, they get the green light.
Yeah.
And
I'm
like,
the Gretzky of moving into a condo or renting a condo where there's a reno either above, next door. Where it's the same noises, man. It's just, who am I to talk? I'm doing a reno as we speak. But I'm finally getting payback on someone else.
Right. Well, that's
kind
of like
downtown. It's shocking how if, like, the plumber's got to do something that's making noise, and it's a noise that the neighbors are unfamiliar with, they'll knock on your door in 4 seconds and say, that noise is not happening anymore today.
That's a good – I hadn't thought of the whole knock on the door, and that's not acceptable around here in that condo lifestyle, man, because I've been out of that game for a while, like dealing with neighbors on top of you, below you.
Well, my condo, actually, you're not even allowed to knock on a neighbor's door.
No?
What do you mean?
You're not allowed to knock on the door. You have to go down to the front desk and request some kind of conversation.
Is that COVID-related, or is that
so
people don't come to blows?
Yeah, that's the rules. You're not allowed to just wheel up to somebody's condo and say, hey, what's up? Can I borrow your plunger?
Why don't you? Have you ever borrowed a plunger from a neighbor?
You're damn right I have. And I do
Where's
not think
yours?
There's anything. I was in Carolina, and I didn't have one, and I had some buddies over. And I'm not going to get into what obviously happened, but my neighbor, I just said, look, I need a plunger and I need it badly. Can I borrow it? But the worst part is it's not actually borrowing it. It's giving it back.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you
no
don't
kidding.
Give it back.
It's got half a roll like wrapped around it. That would be the reason you would implement a no-knocking rule.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Always the reason for the rule.
Don't you ever come back here ever again.
Yeah. Like, immediately, the condo committee, like, we are convening because we have a code red. Some guy knocked on the door looking for a plunger.
And had an incident with a moose, and he wants me to fix it, wants to use my
I'll
plunger.
Tell you the
no
worst.
Way.
It's not bad borrowing it. It's bringing it back.
Oh, yeah, no
you
kidding.
Don't bring it back.
You, I think you
what you do
that.
Is you slide $30
I was
their
23
say,
years old.
Right.
It's just you're not thinking like that. You're like, you don't even clean it. You're just like, here's the plunger.
Well, yeah, there's no real cleaning of a plunger. I guess you can clean a plunger, but...
Dude, I'm not... I just go to
Okay,
break.
We'll come back
go
and discuss break. It a little bit more. Confirm that they're not coming up. PGA Tour is on notice. Big money being splashed around, potentially overseas. We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Bizarre story, an unfortunate story out of Denver. I don't know if you saw this Schefter tweet, Hayes. The Broncos offensive tackle, Juwan James, suffered a season-ending torn Achilles, but it happened away from the training facility. Away from the training facility, and per sources, his $10 million salary for the upcoming season is now being in jeopardy, that Denver no longer is obligated to pay it because he was working off-site. Like, are you kidding? What are these guys? They can only work. Do they not go home to their vacation or what? Like, that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. And that, yeah. But that is a non-guaranteed contract in a nutshell right there. That is why the NFL is just different, because of a scenario like that where, like anyone else, you get a guaranteed contract. It doesn't matter how it happened. You're getting that cash, man.
Dude, if they don't pay him, I will never watch a Broncos game and never cheer for them and never cheer for John Elway or anything like that.
It would suggest to me, the only reason I would wonder if it got to that point is if he was doing something like really stupid. You right. know, like he's training. Well, whatever it is. Like, you know, he was buckled and he was partying and he was jumping off a roof, you know, or something, whatever right. it is. And it's like, what are you doing? Even then, I'd reason with the idea of making sure the guy gets paid. But that a lot of it comes down to cap, too, and who's going to be available. And if he's not going to play, you might need that money. The NFL's a different beast, man.
Well, I often wonder, we'll get into it later, but like insurance situation. Like these guys, they should be able to insure their contracts for anything that a team wouldn't cover. I hope a guy like that would have some form of matchmaker insurance or something like that, 24-hour insurance.
That's a good point. Yeah, that could be an option for him. Right. Confirm or deny coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA license 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.